Welcome back to the Coffee, Cake, and Kegels podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, and I'm recording from my bed. I'm sitting on my bed with my dogs, drinking a cup of my Organo King coffee. It's loaded with reishi mushrooms. It is divine. It tastes like actual coffee, not like some other brands out there, like Mud Water, that does not taste like coffee. And it's loaded with reishi mushrooms, so it has so many health benefits. But I am not making a commercial for them. I am just telling you that I am thoroughly enjoying this cup of coffee. And I wanted to jump on today because I had a tremendous healing take place in my life. And of course, I had to talk about it. While I find it difficult to say this to my parents, and I don't think I'm ever going to share this with them, I did share with my sisters and a few friends, and that was enough for me. I also shared it with Creator, and that's also enough for me. So, for many years, I also want to just let you be warned that this is a trigger for some people. So if you have gone through sexual abuse, you can stop listening if it's a trigger for you. Or if you know someone or love someone who has, this might be difficult to listen to, so I'm just giving you a warning now. So for many years, I always felt that someone did something to me sexually, and I really could never put my finger on it, but I did have so many behaviors of somebody who has endured some kind of sexual trauma. I was very afraid of boys, to be intimate with boys. The idea of having my first kiss, while most kids are excited and nervous, I had full-on fear. I was afraid that I was going to be touched inappropriately. I remember going to a house party and one of my friends was very open with her body, you know, at a young age, sexually and everything. And I was not. Like I just mentioned, I was very afraid of boys. I didn't want them touching me. I really was like one of the guys, in a sense. A lot of my friends were male, and we were like buds, you know? The idea of doing anything further than that was scary to me. And I'll get into other things as I got to be an adult and whatever. But I was at a house party, and I was in my girlfriend's bedroom playing with makeup, whatever, and these two boys came into the room and they locked the door behind them, and I was like, oh God, this is it. Like, I'm going to be raped. Something terrible is going to happen. And the fear that came over me was really immense. But luckily, one of my guy friends was like, where is Stacy? And somebody said, oh, she's upstairs. And when he saw the door shut, he just instinctively knew. Because A, he knew I wasn't that kind of girl. Like, I just wasn't. I was, like I said, I was one of the guys. I was afraid to even, like, kiss a boy. So he just instinctively knew to come get me and bang on the door, to which these other two boys opened the door and let me out. Otherwise, I don't think the situation, obviously, the story would have gone much differently had he not done that. And I don't even think he knows how much that meant to me and how important his role was in my life at that time. You know? I'm digressing. So, I've always just felt that something had happened to me. Always, always, always. I told my sisters, and I did think of a particular family member, to which both my sisters were like, we don't think so, because you were never left alone with that particular family member. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't know who it was. I just don't know. But I know something happened to me. And I shared this information with my husband, you know, and he was obviously supportive and listening to my story. Listening to my feelings years ago, I told him. But then these issues started to resurface again, like these feelings of certain things. So I'll explain. So obviously I've spoken about how I had a promiscuous phase as not a teenager. It was in my early 20s, where I just went on this, I just did things that were not for my highest and best good. And it's weird because it was like a complete 360. I was afraid of men. I didn't want to do anything with guys. To me, doing something with guys and then going, you know, all out and not having any kind of moral compass for a little bit. It was very short-lived because I'm just truly not, I just can't, you know, I just worry about everything. So obviously it was a short-lived little blurb of my life. However, I would get these moments where I would feel repulsed by sex, repulsed, even married to my husband, who I love, I trust. I know he would never hurt me or abuse me or anything like that. I still would get these feelings of like, sex is disgusting. So these started to surface recently. And I couldn't figure out, like, where are they coming from, along with really horrendous pain in my hips, in my psoas muscles, which, if you're not familiar with those are the muscles where, if you're looking at yourself in a mirror, it's where your thigh and your hip kind of meet at the, like, very base of your lower belly area, or your privates, in a way, if you're looking straight ahead. So we carry sexual trauma in that area of our bodies. We carry sexual trauma in our sacral chakra, our root chakra, and that's below the belly button area, and then also in our lower back. So, you know, I have always had lower back pain. Always, always, always. I mean, since I'm like a teenage girl. And I also have, like I said, this horrendous pain in my hip area. And no matter what I did, stretching, nothing helped. Nothing at all. So I always truly believe that God, Creator, puts things into my path, gives me an ailment, gives me something that needs work, because He's telling me, this is something you need to heal, and this is something I want to help you relieve or release. It just takes me some time to, like, get the message, you know? It's like, hello, Stacy, I'm going to give you all these different symptoms, and you're going to keep thinking it's A, B, and C, but it's really not any of those. It's something trauma-based that you need to work on. So I had a, I had a Reiki healing session. My friend did Reiki for me. And she told me that there's definitely some trapped trauma in that area. Now, she doesn't know this about me. I never shared it with her. And she said, I'm feeling like there was some kind of sexual abuse. And it really struck home with me because it validated how I felt my whole life. And it also made me realize, okay, this is what needs work. This is what needs to happen. So I decided to acknowledge this trauma. And in doing so, I decided that I didn't want to know who the person was. And I know you might be like, what? Why wouldn't you want to know? And here's my reasoning. It's not about the person who did this to me. It's about bearing witness to what was done so that I could heal it and release it. Knowing who did it brings in another layer that I don't need. I don't need that layer. I don't need to know who it was, because either way, I mean, I've had my thoughts. I've had my thoughts. So the people who I thought it could be are dead. They're not here with us anymore. And some other people who I thought it could be, I don't really associate with. So they're not in my life. And so I don't really need to acknowledge them. And acknowledging them, just the who part, takes away from my healing. Because it's just going to bring up anger and, you know, other emotions that are not going to really be for my highest and best good. So the other day I sat and I prayed and I did a healing for myself, and I just asked God to show me what and when so that I have the tools to release it. And he did. He showed me the age and what exactly happened. I will not get into those details because, like I said, it is triggering for people who have endured sexual abuse. But I was 3 or 4 years old, and from what I felt, it was an isolated incident. It didn't happen more than once, but it happened. And I was able to forgive the person. I don't know who the person is. The face wasn't shown to me because, like I said, that's not what I needed to see. I sent healing to that person because I know sick people do things like that to children. People who are well do not do things like that. I sent healing and forgiveness to them. And then I was able to release this trauma, and I woke up the next day with no more hip pain. So I am telling this story not to be, listen to my story, or, you know, oh, here I am coming out about something very traumatic. That's not my purpose of this message. My purpose of this episode is to tell you that when we acknowledge traumas and pinpoint where they are in our body, we can heal them. Yeah, you can heal it. You don't need someone who does Reiki. You don't need any, you need you. You are a child of God. He has equipped you with everything you need to heal yourself. Now, of course, I understand some people have a difficulty and they need help. And, you know, like, I know I do. I'm like, I need help and I have to reach out to my helpers, you know. But we have the ability, and really amazing things can happen when we heal our trauma. I cannot express, I don't even know how to express the amount of like a weight that's been lifted off of my chest, my shoulders, everything from just bearing witness to this event and then making peace with it. Now, I know it's not easy for everyone to do that, and I'm not minimizing anyone's pain or struggle or traumas or anything that they've gone through. I'm just here to say that acknowledging our trauma, healing from it, is possible. We are not our trauma. We are not. And we do have the tools, believe it or not, to help ourselves. Like I said, maybe I believe we are the tool, but sometimes it's hard to get out of our own heads and we need someone else to be the tool. Totally understandable. But this was big for me in my life at this juncture. And I was speaking to a friend of mine and she's like, it's a shame you didn't know this sooner, or you weren't able to get to this place sooner. And I, you know, listen, if you've listened to my episodes, you know, you already know my personality, you know, without having to know me personally. Everything happens in its time, in its season, you know, just like in your house, everything has its place, right? In your bathroom, you have a, you know, a medicine cabinet, and your whatever, face creams, medications, whatever go in that cabinet. Everything has its place. And everything has its place too within us. And everything has its time to unfold. I always say we are always in different seasons. We can be in seasons of struggle. We can be in seasons of change, of progress, growth. You know, in a season of just being, where we are just skating by and just taking things in, you know, a season of healing, whatever season we are in, it's the right time. There are no mistakes. So I am in this season of healing. And you know, it's so funny because I'm trying so desperately to heal my body, right? Physically. That's my focus. It's like, you know, oh my God, let me learn about this. Let me learn about that. Oh my God, maybe it's this. Okay. Oh wait, maybe it's that. Wait, I have symptoms of this. And I've been so wrapped up in that, so wrapped up in the physical part that I have neglected the emotional part. I haven't been doing the work that I need to do. I have gotten completely overwhelmed and immersed myself in the physical healing aspect. I forgot all about the emotional, you know, like that's the hard part. The hard part is the emotional healing that has to still be done. So of course I forgot about it, you know, because I'm like, ah, the physical is so much easier for me. Just like I'm sure it is for a lot of people, you know, it's a lot harder to heal the emotional. There's no pill you could take for that. So it's just been one of those seasons of healing that I've been in that now is shifting. and the perspective is shifting and the thought patterns are shifting and I'm being called heavily back into the work of healer. And when I say healer, I don't mean the physical, I mean the emotional. I've been called back into that place. And every time I try to leave, every time I'm like, I am not going to do any energy work anymore, I'm always called back in. I'm called back in. And there's a reason. You know, I do know my purpose in this life. And I'm grateful for that. So with that said, I just wanted to share this with you because there are so many people out there who are struggling, who have trauma. And when I tell you trauma, and I've said this before, trauma does not have to be sexual abuse. Trauma does not have to be physical abuse. Trauma could be something as simple as feeling neglected or just emotions in general of never feeling enough. That's traumatic, especially when you carry it with you your entire life. So never think that your life wasn't hard or traumatic or that you didn't have some kind of adversity. We all have. We all have in some way, in some capacity. We've all been through something. And, you know, never doubt for a moment that, you know, what you've been through wasn't really that bad. Because at the time in your life, in that phase you were in that season you were in, it was difficult. It wasn't easy. And it's okay to acknowledge that. And, you know, we have to lose this, as I wave my hand around trying to express like losing something, we have to lose this mentality where we've had to really have gone through something really, really intense for us to have had struggle or whatever. You know, it's everything is personal. Everyone is different. Wherever your trauma happens is where emotional growth stops. Let me say that again. Wherever trauma happens, whatever age it happens in, is where you stop growing emotionally. So I'm just going to let that sit with you. So if you felt ignored at 8 years old, that's traumatic. If you were constantly made fun of in grade school, high school, whatever, that is traumatic. And yes, everything that we endure creates the person we become, makes us who we are today. Not that our trauma defines us, but our trauma does create some behaviors. And now I understand why I have lived my life in fight or flight. Even though I was so young when this event took place, and that's, I think, why I could never remember. I knew something happened, but I couldn't really remember. It just makes sense why I lived my life always in that fight or flight response mode. Like, okay, shit's getting tough, I'm gonna run, you know? Or someone says something to me and I don't like it, I'm gonna fight back with words, or I'm gonna hurt them even more. I've always was in that phase where I was stuck fight or flight, fight or flight, fight or flight. And, you know, it explains, it just was eye-opening to me. And how I feel now is just completely different. It's so crazy. And in a good way, you know, I feel so light compared to, and not to have pain in my hips is amazing. You know, that's a miracle in itself. So never discredit what you've gone through. It's just my advice to you. Never think like, oh, well, this person has it worse than I do. I shouldn't complain, or I shouldn't feel a certain sort of way. You have every right to feel. That's the problem, is we were taught not to feel. We were taught not to be angry. And when we do those things, we violate our own self-trust. So then we can't manage our emotions healthy or effectively, you know, so we self-implode. We become workaholics because, you know, that's the way I handle everything, or I avoid life, so I put it into my work. Or we punch holes in walls. I mean, I used to do that. Guilty. So, you know, there's strength and courage, and most importantly, healing in acknowledging, in feeling the discomfort of feelings. That's my advice for today. Once again, thank you for listening.